And with that, we'll bring on Bungie Garrett's call here on the RBNLive.com Republic Broadcasting Network. Bungie, glad you called. What can we do for you today, man? Thanks for waiting.
Thanks a lot. I've listened to your program many times now, and it seems to center around this one topic, which is the name of God and Yeshua. And just happened to have some time to call in. And wanted to ask you a couple of questions about your position. I'm very curious about it. Was it Jesus or Yeshua, however you want to call him, was it Yeshua who was crucified on the cross, or was it Yahweh?
It was the Almighty Yahweh, who could not die as an invisible spirit. He had, as the Father, invisibly, he could not die, never did die. But when he came in the flesh, he had to manifest himself in the flesh as the Son, because that flesh and blood did die, but the spirit of the Creator could never die. It was just the flesh in which he manifested, the Word which became flesh, that indeed did die for us, because it was we were needing a perfect sacrifice. A human sacrifice is something he condemned, never condone. So a human sacrifice could not remedy a human dilemma of our sins, and so he had to come himself. But he couldn't come in his invisibility as the Eternal Father. He had to manifest his own Word, which became his own flesh. It was indeed divine, because, he had to bring a perfect sacrifice, not a human sacrifice. Do you understand where we're coming with that?
Well, I think I do understand your position. You're saying that the Father put on a human suit.
Well, it wasn't a human from the dust like our flesh. Indeed, it was the Word become flesh, not the flesh of Mary becoming flesh. He didn't have the 23 chromosomes of Mary, because Mary was a sinner, and he did not inherit the sin nature, did not have corruptible flesh.
The
Almighty Yahweh, when he came in the flesh, or manifested himself in the flesh, the Father in the Son in the Father. In other words, the invisible spirits in the visible flesh. They're one and the same person with one and the same name, like the text we read today. In that day there shall be one Yahweh, and his name one. Go ahead, bro.
So when Jesus was being baptized, and he heard the voice of the Father in the heavens, and he, at various points in times in the New Testament, was praying to the Father. What was going on there?
Well, obviously, he was giving us an example of prayer, first and foremost. Also, he was doing the redemption mediation role, in which he came to fulfill all things that were written aforetime in the Psalms and all the words of the prophets and the law.
Well, so he was doing a ventriloquist act.
No, indeed not. We're talking about a sign to John the Baptist, or Jochanan the Immerser, and that sign was for Jochanan. If you notice the words in which you read, where it says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And
okay.
He didn't say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom we are," two different persons. No, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am," and there can't be two I ams. I am that I am.
In John or Johann chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God and was God. There was suggested there is a distinction. Let's talk about it philosophically or even logically. Before the Father created anything, before the Father created angels or heaven or anything, it's just the invisible, all-powerful God. That God was a communicative God, correct?
Well, the Almighty Yahweh was definitely communicating. Hey, we want to hold you over, Bungie. You bring out some important issues we need to talk about. I do appreciate your thoughts. The word "and," though, where it says "and was the Almighty," the word "and" is the same as, just like President George W. Bush, the commander and chief. It doesn't mean that there's two George W. Bushes.
But that's not the part that I'm focusing on. I'm talking about the "with" part.
Right. Well, hold on to that thought. We'll hold you over the break. RBNLive.com, breachmender@yahoo.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Bunch.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly. American Free Press. AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com. You tune in to Repair the Breach broadcast on the Repair the Breach. Zachariah, Daniel, we got Bungie. I'm holding on the line. We appreciate you calling in, Bungie. Go right ahead with your thoughts.
Sure. Thanks. I was right in the middle of a bit of a logical argument from my understanding of God, and the question came down to are the attributes of God infinite? And I'm sure you would agree with that. And some of those attributes or the characteristics of God would include love. They would include communication, or God is a communicative God. And with that, you have a God who, before creation, is unable to fulfill himself. In other words, if God is a communicating God, and if God is a loving God, and if God is monotheistic in the way that you suggest, with no distinctions within himself, then God would need something. He would need to create something to love and something to communicate with. Therefore, a monotheistic God, in the sense that you discuss, is imperfect, because that God needs. A God who needs is not a perfect God. Therefore, my what I'm arguing is that logic alone demands that there be at least one distinction within God. Much like you and I have a body, a soul, and a spirit.
But are you two? Are you two or three different people, though?
Oh no 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 no! I'm only one person, and,
exactly.
and understand this. I'm only saying that God is one God. However, my body is not my soul, and my soul is not my spirit, and it takes.
But your name is one, and your person is one, right?
You bet. But I'm not going to the whole name of God. I know that you center around that a whole lot, but my point.
No. Hold on. Let's do that for a second. Okay, if He made us in His image, which He plainly declares, then there's not two or three of Him, and He is not needy because He needs. Not anything. He is all sufficient. We need him more than he needs us, but he loves us, and so he desired fellowship. That's why. But go ahead. Appreciate your thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. If you'd hear me for a second, just to finish my point.
Go ahead.
The point was this, that in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, or the book of beginnings, what we find is the God who says, let us go down and make man in our image.
Genesis 1:26, right?
Now, God is talking to himself, but he's not insane.
He's counseling all things after his own will, and he's not talking to a second person in some fictitious twinity or duality or trinity. He's counseling all things with his own will, and he's also speaking with the angels who took on the form of men, by the way, who are not, deity.
But actually, the word God there is Elohim,
it says plural in majesty, not plurality in person. So there's a difference of plurality there.
Well, that's what you're suggesting, but I could name off several ancient Jewish commentators that would disagree with you.
Well, I don't believe in Judaism. Number one, this show doesn't promote Judaism.
I'm talking about ancient Hebraic, the guys the guys who originally had this text, and we're not trying to force an interpretation upon it, but took the understanding of what Moses' original writings were. So we have to understand that number one. The first time that God is mentioned in the Bible, it's not Yahweh, it's Elohim, which is the title for God, which is presented as a singular plurality. One Jewish commentator mentioned that it was like saying water. You have one water, it's H2O, but how much water? You know, it's undefinable, one drop of water or an ocean of water. But then the Bible goes on to reveal that you have the Father who is God, the Son who is God, and
you
the
got
Holy
two,
Spirit.
Then you got two. Then you got two or three when you said, "I alone am your Savior. I know not any other."
No. Like I've already pointed out, you're not allowing me to define my position. You're forcing what you believe about the Trinitarian position onto me, and I'm letting you know that you have a misrepresentation. You're misrepresenting the Trinitarian position. The Trinitarian position is that we believe in one and only one God.
And what's his name?
Well, let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
See, you're not interested in listening. You only just want to make
your
point.
I am indeed interested in listening. I want you to keep on talking. Let's have a dialogue, not a monologue, but go right ahead.
Well, again, you interrupted before I could even define what the Trinitarian position was. You interrupted me by demanding that I tell you his name. So the Trinitarian position is that you have one and only one God who is a singular plurality who has defined himself as one God being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's how the Logos of God, or the divine logic of God, can be both with God and God at the same time. So what is his name? Well, his name clearly is YHWH or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh or however you want to define that out. But when the word, a part of God, a distinction within God, when the Word became flesh, not when Yahweh became flesh, but when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, his name is Jesus, and according to Luke, in Acts 4:10, it is the name of Jesus, which is how we are saved. It's the Have you read Acts 4:10?
Yeah, but did you know, obviously, if you've heard this broadcast, you know that the name of Jesus was not in the first King James Bible.
Well, it's Iesus in the Greek.
Right, and he said, I alone am your Savior, I know not any other, and that day there shall be one Yahweh and his name one. Now, he's not saying I'm going to change because he says I change not. He's not going to profane or let his name to be profane, so he allowed his name to be removed. He didn't cause it, he allowed it because he did not want his name to be profane with all these pagan terms and pagan names. And with all due respect, Jesus or Zeus didn't die for you and me. We're not thinking of Zeus when people say Jesus either. They're thinking of the one that truly did die for their sins, but it was Yahweh who came in the flesh because he said, I alone am your Savior. I know not any other. He said, except you believe that I am he, Yachin in John 8:23-24, except you believe that I am he, not we are three or a duality or a trinity. That came from Babylon, if you understand the trinity.
It's well, no,
actually,
Babylon came from the lies of Satan, which was a twist on the God that Satan knows, who is a triune God. So Satan already knows that there's a triune God, and then he comes along and mimics it and tries
So is there like two or three different people of Satan, with all due respect?
Well, I have no idea. Why would I know that?
Everyone knows that, if you believe in one Almighty, like James or Yaakov says, you do well. The devils believe and they tremble. And so the devils don't worship or believe in two or three different distinct persons of the Almighty apart from himself.
Well, they don't know that.
Well, they do.
They believe in one God, and that's what I believe in.
Right. And I appreciate you believing and confessing that you believe in one Almighty. The only problem that I have with your position is that it's not scripturally backed, with all due respect, because
Yahweh says don't have any others
before me. So if you say, okay, there's Yahweh, then there's another name for another person that he sent, then you're saying that he allowed himself to share his glory with another when he said he couldn't do that in Isaiah.
Do you know what the hypostatic union is?
I've heard the term before, and the dual nature, the human, it's basically they believe a human nature fused with a divine nature.
No.
But go ahead and give me your take on it. There's so many different opinions on that subject.
Well, there's really not.
But go ahead.
There's really not many positions on it. The hypostatic union is the doctrine that Jesus is 100% God. I'm sorry. Let me not stumble you. Yeshua is 100%.
That's just a title for the Messiah. His name is still Yahweh. He came in the Father's name, and even Yeshua is not the Father's name. We all could agree.
And I'll get into that here in a second because you completely miss the cultural idiom of what "in the name of" or "the name of someone" even means, and that's one great thing that you're missing here. But
go ahead.
The thing about it is that Yeshua is the hypostatic union is the doctrine that says that Yeshua is 100% God and 100% man, not fused, not integrated, but 100% deity, was clothed with 100% humanity. That's why Isaiah says in chapter 9:6 that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. That being the child of Mary and the Son of God. So you have 200% within Jesus Christ or Yeshua HaMashiach. And what you have is deity, and that is a part of Yahweh, and this deity was clothed in humanity.
So you got a part deity and you got a part humanity is what you're saying.
No, you have 100% deity. I just said that you have 100% deity and 100% humanity.
So then you got a 200% idolatrous modalistic dilemma of dualistic proportion.
Well, no, not at all. Not at all.
Well, you're saying that you believe in one Almighty, but you're saying now that you have 100% humanity and 100% deity, which is 200%.
Well, no, I believe what John
said. Really? You said you believe in one. I just thought you said earlier.
I believe in John's writing that the Word, or the Logos in Greek, the Logos, which is called the Divine Wisdom, the Logos of God, became flesh.
And I agree with you. That's absolutely correct.
So is it deity?
The Word is indeed deity because, look, you have Word and your spirit produces Word. You can't separate yourself and say you have two or three different people, which you obviously I and both understand. We know that our Word that we speak is given by our spirit, which is the breath of Yod, and we know that your Word is inferior to your spirit.
But you can't separate
yourself from it, though. Have you
studied that word Logos?
Yeah, absolutely. But the point, what I'm trying to bring out and to answer your
we're not talking about words like we're using right now. That's not what we're talking about. The reason why John used the word or Logos is because it was
the plan, the thought of God. But go ahead. We want to hold you over. Do you want to stay on? Because we sure like to have you still.
Sure, I'd love to. I'm having a blast.
Okay, Bungie, we'll be right back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com. Stay tuned. I'll reach Mender at yahoo.com. And be right back.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Digestive problems can be miserable. Get rid of acid reflux, irritable bowel syndrome, and excessive bloating naturally. Gastrinex is the wild and natural herbal support for all digestive problems. It's a powerful blend of herbs, spices, and enzymes to stop digestive problems quickly. For any digestive need, take Gastrinex. Call 800-243-5242 today.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
And we're back here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBNLive.com. You're tuned to the Repair of the Breach broadcast. On the Repair of the Breach, Zechariah Daniel. And whenever you see in Scripture, folks, text very clearly, the Almighty states that I am one. There is none beside me. And hear, O Israel, Yahweh Almighty is one. The text we read today, in that day, speaking of the last day, there shall be one Yahweh, and his name, the only name, or his name, one. But there's only one name for the Creator who has many, many appellations. He has plurality of majesty, plurality of titles, and so forth. Then we need to come to an important decision and make that decision. What name do we confess for salvation? Because Yahweh says in that day there shall be just one of him. There ain't going to be two of him or three of him. But Bungie Garrett's with us, and he takes to another position. He says there's one Almighty, but he believes that there's two or three or a distinction apart from the Almighty himself. But go right ahead. I don't want to misrepresent you. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And you did, because I didn't say that I have two or three distinctions apart from God. I said that there are the Bible reveals that there are two, that there are three distinctions within God, that within Yahweh you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why we're commanded to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Can we take that point for a second, since you bring out an important point? When you baptized, or when you got baptized, did you hear the preacher say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost? They literally said those words over you. Or,
sure. Well, you know, I'd love to get into that here in a moment, because that's when I'd like to clear up the misconception about the idiom that you're misapplying. But apart from that, if you don't mind, I'd like to go back to what we were talking about before the last break.
Sure, let's do that. But let me just make a statement, though. The name of the Father is not Father. That's a title. We would agree.
Sure.
Okay. So then, if they say that literally, then they ain't really being baptized in the name of the Father, which is Yahweh. Now, the name of the Son, it says in Jeremiah 23:5-6, says, "Call him Yahweh, our righteous." He said he came in the Father's name. There was no. It means power and authority. I'm in agreement, but it also means literally that he was the Father manifest in the flesh as the Son. Whenever you see anything in the Renewed Covenant or Brit Kadoshah, go back to Isaiah 8 and the Torah, where it says that they speak not according to this word, speaking of the Messiah's disciples. The Messiah's disciples were true and right indeed. Monks monkeying around with the manuscripts put words in their mouth or the pen to their quill to their parchment and made us think that they said things they never said, because they preached the same name the apostles preached, the prophets preached. They didn't preach two different names.
And again, you're trying to force me into the conversation that I already said that I'd like to have here in a few moments after we go back and clear up what happened before the last break.
Go ahead and state your position then.
Appreciate it. So the word or the logos of God is God. The logos is with God and is God, one with the Almighty. And so we're talking about Yahweh again. You have the Word who took on flesh, and we're talking about the hypostatic union. Now, let me ask you this. Did Jesus or Yeshua die on the cross?
Well, the Almighty Messiah in his flesh, that died. His spirit never died.
Okay, so was that 100% flesh that died?
Indeed, because the body without the spirit is dead. James 2:26. In other words, you can't have your person or your body alive unless the spirit giveth life. You see.
So is the logos 100% God also?
Well, keep in mind the word became flesh. The spirit produces word. And that's why he said, "My Father is greater than I." Why? Because the Spirit is greater than the Word that became flesh.
So is the Logos 100% God?
The Almighty Messiah is 100% Almighty man. There's not two different persons or two different spirits or two different bodies.
You're not answering my question. My question is the Logos 100% God?
Absolutely. I won't use the term God because it goes back to pagan roots, but I understand where you're coming from.
Thank you for playing on my court. The Logos is 100% God, and the flesh that he came in was 100% man.
Well, what kind of man are we talking about? It's not from the dust, or humanity wasn't from the genetic code of our DNA from the dust. No, he indeed was. The Word became flesh. You're right. Logos, absolutely correct. The Word was divine, the Spirit is deity, and the Word is also divine. So you have to keep in mind that the Word was subject to the Spirit, just like your Word is subject to your Spirit. It doesn't mean there's two or three of you. But go ahead, finish your point.
Right. So as you already pointed out, the flesh of Jesus was 100% flesh.
No, it was 100%. I say he's 100% almighty man, not 100% human. Keep that in mind.
So which part died on the cross?
Not all flesh is the same flesh. First Corinthians 15:39. The actual body of the Almighty, which that body housed that invisible spirit, which could not die. That's why it forsook the flesh. Well, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Fulfilled Psalm 22. It wasn't another person talking to another person, or one aspect of himself talking to another aspect of himself. What he's doing is he's fulfilling all the scriptures that were written of him, not doing a ventriloquist act. Hey, if you want to hold on, man, I'm enjoying this discussion. If you'd like, Bungie, you want to hold on?
Yeah, sure. That'd be great.
Okay, we'll be right back here on RBNLive.com, the Repair of the Breach broadcast. Stay tuned. RBNLive.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel-cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
KU-Band Satellite is here. RBN is now offering a brand new way to hear your favorite programs. Listening to RBN via satellite is easy on the ears. Clean digital audio combined with consistently reliable reception anywhere in North America. KU utilizes a 30-inch dish and receiver similar to the equipment the subscription satellite TV services use. In fact, this satellite receiver also picks up a lot of television and music channel programming, even other talk radio networks. All of this with absolutely no monthly subscription fees, ever. Take advantage of our introductory offer and order your KU Dish receiver today for only $149 plus shipping and handling, and begin enjoying our highest quality audio available 365 days a year. Visit our website, www.rbnlive.com, for more information, or call 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Clean, consistent, and affordable.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Back here on the Repair the Breach broadcast on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnlive.com, and we are open up to call in line, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443, if you want to get in on this conversation here. That Bungie and I are having your thoughts and comments are welcome and appreciated. Go right ahead, Bungie, as you were saying.
So to the point that I was trying to make, I appreciate you letting me carry on. The point that I was trying to make is that you can't kill Almighty God. That's impossible.
Cannot, spirit could never die. You're right.
You cannot kill God, but yet Jesus was killed on the cross. His fleshly heart was stabbed and the blood and the water poured out, showing that his heart was already broken. He was stabbed in between his rib cage. His hands and his feet were nailed to the wooden cross.
It was actually a stake if you study that out. I'm sure you know that it wasn't a cross.
Oh, sure I know it's a cross because I understand that...
believe it was a cross, literally?
I know that it was a cross because I've done my research.
Also, in other words, the sexual fertility rites of horizontal vertical, which was predating the crucifixion.
You have to understand, you know, this is a rabbit trail, and I'll take you, I'll go with you on it for just for
well,
a second.
Let me ask you a question, though, since you bring up this point about the cross. So you really literally believe that it was a horizontal vertical cross that was...
You know what? I would love to get into this, but your segments are so short, and it's taken me two...
Well,
just
it needs to pay the bills. Our great sponsors need to have their things brought out, too.
I'm not dogging you. I'm just trying to say I want to finish my point before we move on down another rabbit
trail.
Okay,
I'll do that, but let me ask you one question. In that day, there shall be one Yahweh and his name one. What name is going to be the only name that's going to stand in the end, and what's the only name that you believe that would be?
I respect you as the host, but just let me finish the point, please, and then I'll answer your question.
Okay, go right ahead. I apologize. I don't mean to interject. Go ahead.
The point, again, is that it was the body of Jesus, the 100% human body of Jesus that died on the cross. It was the 100% human fleshly body of Jesus that was wrapped and mummified and placed in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. You can't kill God, though, so it was the Logos that was in the fleshly body of Christ. So you have 100% God, Logos, who came in the 100% flesh of the body of Jesus, or the son of Mary. So again, I just needed to show you that my point of the hypostatic union of Jesus being both 100% God and 100% man is true, is biblical, and it's the position that anyone that wants the truth is going to take. So then to answer your question about the cross.
Let me finish the thought since you go on to another subject, which I do want your answer for, by the way. But the reality is that if you have 100% humanity and 100% deity, you've got a 200% problem. Besides, everything reproduces itself after its own kind. The Father said in Isaiah, Yahweh said, who would you liken me to? Who would you compare me to? If he condemned human sacrifice all throughout the first covenant, he's not going to say, well, okay, I'm going to break my own law and I'm going to send someone else and worship. Now, you can worship someone else, or I can't change my nature, so I can't take on fallen nature from humanity, and humanity cannot become deity. That's another sect called LDS theology, by the way, where they try to believe that a human being can ascend. That's a demagogue theory, can ascend to the status of deity, which is an impossibility. He did not ascend or evolve into deity. He was the almighty man when he came in the flesh from the beginning. He just gave us an example is all he did.
But he came in the flesh.
Absolutely. Well, what kind of flesh did he come in? Because he said that not all flesh is the same flesh. It wasn't human flesh as you propound.
But you're thinking
from the dust. You believe he was from the dirt?
You're taking 1 Corinthians 15 out of context.
I am totally on point, my friend.
You're completely out of context.
Not all flesh is the same flesh. You've got the flesh of birds. You've got the flesh of beasts.
Look,
you've got the flesh of humanity. Was the Almighty a human being? If you worship him as a human being, you deny his total person, his true person.
Number one, the text from 1 Corinthians 15 that you're taking out of context has to do with the resurrection of man.
That's right,
it has to do with
describing different kinds of flesh, birds, flesh of beasts, flesh of humanity. And the flesh of the Almighty was the Word that became flesh, the flesh of Mary that became flesh, friend.
But listen, with all due respect,
I mean, I'm just trying to be, giving you fair time on the air. I don't usually give as much time, I don't screen calls, but I do respect people's rights to speak their heart. And I know you're passionate about what you believe, and I respect that, but... But also
again,
respect, my friend, it's idolatrous practices here.
But again, your use of 1 Corinthians 15 is about the post-death of a mortal man and what happens to his body, not on what the body of Christ is. So you're misapplying and misusing that text, number one.
He said, except you eat my flesh, drink my blood, you have no life in you. He condemned cannibalism. It wasn't human flesh. He wasn't talking literally. He was saying, you have to discern my body. There's many sick today in sleep that don't understand the body of the Messiah was indeed the Word became flesh, not the flesh of Mary. We're not talking semantics. We're talking about a doctrine called origin. He came from eternity. He said, I'm from above. You're from beneath. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. Don't put me in the category of humanity. I'm not from the dust like you. I'm the potter. I'm not the clay. Okay. That's what he's trying to say. You're trying to say he was clay, that he was the potter and the clay mixed together.
Was he born of Mary's womb?
He came through her, just not from her. She was the first surrogate mother. She didn't produce DNA. The father didn't mix his perfect word seed with her egg. You've got to keep that in mind. She just was a surrogate mother, didn't give up her nature. She was indeed favored, highly favored, was a devil, but she did not come and bear the... We don't believe in the Immaculate Conception. That's another doctrine of Christianity from the Church of the Catholicism. And the fact is that denominational daughters today are saying, we don't believe in the mother or Immaculate Conception, but they're teaching it in a more deceptive way by saying, he was 100% human and 100% deity. And that's not true, because you cannot produce a 200% situation and say you believe in one almighty. It's just an ultimate contradiction.
What's impossible for man is possible for God. The thing that you're missing here is...
Well, he can't change. You're saying it's possible for him to change. He cannot change. He said that's impossible. He can't lie. He cannot deny himself. These things are impossible for the Almighty to do.
Again,
with all due respect. Go right ahead.
Paul was very clear when he said that the fullness of deity was manifest in the flesh of Jesus Christ, okay? So you are saying, well, let me ask you this. Why don't you teach me, what kind of flesh was it?
Well, the Word became flesh, just like the Word says. It was
what kind of flesh was it? What kind of flesh was it?
That flesh, you could hunger. He hungered, he cried, he died, he slept, he wept, he was touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but he did not have dust flesh like you and I, because we were not redeemed by corruptible seed or corruptible flesh.
What kind of flesh was it?
It was flesh and blood that was genuine, tangible. It was not. He was not a ghost like the Gnostics thought. He was a genuine man, but he wasn't
human.
He was the Almighty Man. He goes forth as a mighty man, like Isaiah says that the Almighty. Isaiah 26 and Isaiah 7 for our listeners. It says that the Almighty Yahweh says, "Shall you, your dead body," speaking about all of us in the resurrection one day, he said, "Your dead body shall rise with my dead body." So the invisible spirit, the Father of all creation, Yahweh, that his invisible body would come in the flesh, and that it would be resurrected with, our bodies would be resurrected with his. So to say that he didn't have a body, he was prophesied. What kind of flesh? Again, it was not from the dust. It wasn't human flesh.
I'm not asking you what kind of flesh wasn't it. I'm asking you what kind of flesh was it.
The Word became flesh. It was the Word that became flesh. It wasn't from the dust.
I'm not asking you what it wasn't. I'm asking you what it was.
It was higher than the heavens. Hebrews 7:26 says that he was higher than the heavens. So his flesh was higher than the heavens. It wasn't from the dust of the earth.
Was the flesh deified?
The flesh was indeed the Word, which was indeed the Almighty Yahweh, now manifested in the flesh. That flesh was the Word, brother. It was not from the Mary's womb. It came through her, just not from her. Not
so somatic. You believe that God flesh can be killed. That's interesting.
Well, read Isaiah 26:13 and read Isaiah 7:13. It does say, or 26:19, it does say, Yahweh the Almighty, the Father, says, and read Zechariah 12:10, Yahweh the Father says, they're going to look upon me whom they pierced. So that flesh was pierced, and Yahweh said that as the Father, and coming in the flesh as the Son, they're going to look upon me, which you can't look upon an invisible spirit unless he is manifested in the flesh. The Word became flesh, and 12:10 of Zechariah states just that, that they looked upon him whom they pierced. That was fulfilled in Yochanan 19. There wasn't two that was pierced for separate people that were pierced, my friend.
Yeah, I got you. So does everybody else. But what you're saying is that the deity flesh of God can be killed.
I'm saying he said it himself in, he said, no man took my life, I lay it down willingly. Why? Because I'm the resurrection and the life. No man, he said, he allowed himself to die. That's the ultimate love story, brother. He came himself because he said, look it, I love you enough to lay down my life, no man took it from me, I give it to you willingly.
But you said that you can't kill God earlier.
You can't kill his spirit, but you can kill the flesh in which he was manifested, which he said he would do in Isaiah 26:19 and Isaiah 7:13. Can't argue with him, my friend.
Oh, no, I would never argue with him. I'm arguing with your interpretation of what he said.
Well, read it. It says it right there. The Almighty says in 12:10 of Zechariah, they're going to look upon me whom they pierced. Now, the Father's speaking. Who was pierced, with all due respect? Who was pierced?
Well, let me answer that question.
Who was pierced? Answer the question. Who was pierced?
You actually got to close your mouth for me to answer.
Well, go right ahead. We'll get commercial breaks. That's why they tell me I should be on the radio. That's the only time you can turn me off.
Genesis chapter 3, the seed of Mary was pierced.
Well, the woman doesn't have seed. It's a promise to us.
That's right. That's
a
right.
Worm doesn't have seed. Remember, she
That's
only
right.
has egg, but it wasn't egg that was produced with the word seed of Yahweh, because that would be a half human, half deity, and we all know that's wrong. So this palatable lie that's so easy to digest in Christianity, well, he's 100% human, 100% deity, is a fictitious, dualistic dilemma, again, of idolatrous proportion.
It's completely biblical.
It came from the Catholic Church, this doctrine of dual nature, that he was 100%.
No, it did not.
It did, too. Read it up.
No,
it was
it
by
did
the
not.
Man... by the man of Melito in Sardis, was a Catholic monk, was the first one to coin that he was a dual nature, 100% human, 100%.
No.
You're following the Catholic teaching, my friend, with all due respect.
That's not true.
It's a fact. Look it up, folks. Do a Google search.
I am following a biblical doctrine that teaches us that the fullness of deity manifests in humanity. And because you cannot kill God, so it must have been human flesh that died on the cross. Illogical, and it's biblical. Your position is unbiblical and illogical, both.
Well, again, his ways are not our ways, our thoughts are not his thoughts, and you can't always go by what the translators have led you to believe, my friend, and all the pulpiteers and the pastors and so forth that maybe you've heard.
What translation do you go with? What translation, then?
I believe, like I've stated many times, the King James Version is probably the most... probably the best we got out there. It's got a lot of errors, and it's just like a lot of other ones, but it's probably the best and most accurate we got out. Because the first King James Bible, like I said, didn't have any J name or J letter, because it doesn't exist in Hebrew.
Know,
but for those that say it's inspired in Greek, well, there's no J in Greek either, so there's no justification of saying the name of Jesus for our Savior anymore.
Sure, and that's your hang-up. But the thing about
it is... No,
it's
not a hang-up, bro. I haven't hung up on you, and I won't hang up on you. I love you. I'm just trying to share something that's so important in the end time that we need to understand. We got to go back to the Father's name. He said the Father's name had to be in our foreheads and keep his commandments to enter into the kingdom of eternity. He says that right there in Revelation 14. And those who kept the commandments had the right to the tree of life in Revelation 22. You say you had to have a Father's name, not another name. He said call the Son's name Yahweh the Almighty. Yahweh our righteousness in 22:5-6 of Jeremiah.
Right.
Do you have anything else with this? Because I know we're getting close to a break again, and I don't want to keep you hanging.
Sure.
Yeah, I love you, man. I really love this dialogue because I hate monologues. You know, we need to, you know, have a little conversation here. And I appreciate that.
Right, but
I want you to call back just because we're you know diving here and there. I want you to call back, please do.
But backing up to the original point of this section of my questioning and comments, you cannot kill God.
He is spirit. The Almighty is spirit, right? We know that they that worship him must worship him in spirit truth. But go ahead and finish your point.
Yeah, God said, I am not a man.
That I should lie. Right, he's not from the dust. So why do we want to put him in a category of humanity when he said they would change the glory of the Almighty to a corruptible man's image? Trying to say he was a human being like us. Look at Psalms 49. It says no one can be redeemed from their own brethren. Literally, from a genetic side.
Have you studied the book of Daniel?
Well, that's a great book. Absolutely. It's a tremendous book.
So when he calls the Messiah the Son of Man, what
kind of man
that?
Are we talking about? It goes back to...
There's only one kind of man.
Well, you've got to keep in mind that the angels came in the form of men, but they're not human beings, are they? But they had some kind of flesh, didn't they?
He didn't say Son of Man.
But he was not an angel. The Almighty Messiah was not an angel. He was the Almighty Messiah. He was not an angel. He was not a creation. He was the Creator. But go ahead and finish your point.
Here's what Paul said. You know, because again, Jesus called himself Son of Man.
Right, 70 times. He uses that phrase, Son of Man, that were over 70 times.
So again, he refers to himself as the Son of Man, and Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ, for in him, that's Yeshua,
not them, but him. I like that.
Right,
go ahead.
For in him,
not them,
dwells. Right. I've never taught that there's more than one God. For in him...
But you believe there's separate... distinction. I mean, you either got one or you got two.
Yeah.
Come on.
Interrupting you is completely rude and
uncalled for. Well, we're having a dialogue, bro. Again, I would not have you in this conversation here,
and while I'm reading this verse, you keep on interrupting me can't finish the verse.
Well, you talk about the traditions of men.
Again, you say that you love dialogue, but then you just completely treat the people that you're talking to like garbage, and then you say, I love you.
Bungie, I apologize, okay? If I get it's just one subject that excites me, so I apologize for my passion. I don't apologize for my position. Go ahead.
But you just run over people.
Well, I don't intend to. Okay, just my passion. I hope it comes out that I'm sincere about it.
I'll back up then and read this verse. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is head of all principality and power. So Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. He was born of a woman. He is claiming here, Paul's claiming here, that the fullness of deity was manifest bodily, and then that body upon the cross was pierced and died. And you can't kill God. And so the only conclusion that you can logically come to is that you have 100% deity within the casing of 100% humanity, and that the body of the human Jesus died, but the spirit, which was inside of that human deity, could not be killed. You have a deity that can be killed.
With all due respect, the Almighty Spirit could never die. That flesh he allowed to die because he was the ultimate epitome of the perfect sacrifice. Not a human sacrifice, my friend. And again, I appreciate all your comments, Aaron or Bungie. Please call again, man. I really do appreciate you and love you. And I do want you to call back. And you know that when you do call back, you'll have the time to express your views. And we appreciate Bungie. If you want to call in, 800-313-9443. We got one more segment after this. Stay tuned. BreachMender@yahoo.com.
Headline news: the much anticipated bird flu pandemic. Whether you consider it dangerous or not makes no difference. It will still be the reason to confine and restrict travel. Conclusion: if we can't feed ourselves locked down at home, Homeland Security will be forced to bring us to gathering centers. Remember Katrina and the Superdome? The World War II bomb shelters in England? And the concentration camps throughout history? They were all huge disease incubators infesting confinees with dozens of life-threatening illnesses. Even if the wimpy little bird flu can't get you, the camps and the immunization will. If the government says store some non-perishable food, you know we'll need a lot. Decide how many years of food your family needs and get it before it's gone or can't be transported. Remember, folks, bad food plans are life-threatening. Call the co-op at 800-409-5633 for warnings and guidelines. That's J. Michael Stevens Group, 800-409-5633, or on the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Attention, this is an RBN Self-Reliance update. RBN has just learned of a new bioactive superfood for garden plants, flowers, and herbs. It's called ProtoGrow, and it is so effective at producing rapid and natural plant growth that it seems to force plants to grow like crazy under almost any soil in light conditions. Now, here's the best part for our listeners who garden for self-reliance. ProtoGrow's unique blend of C nutrients maximizes mineral uptake, dramatically increases bloom set, and gives any plant a tremendous burst of new growth. In fact, some plants may double in size the very first month. ProtoGrow is also guaranteed to produce more succulent, mouth-watering fruits and vegetables than you can carry back to the house. And if you want to double or triple the potency of herbs or wheatgrass, you can. If you want to grow nutritionalized superfoods with non-hybrids, it's now easy. RBN listeners who want to stay prepared should call right now to order ProtoGrow. Ask about their self-reliant super pack. Call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Or visit the ProtoGrow website at www.protogrow.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
No.
am. We're back on the RBNLive.com Republic Broadcasting Network. It's going to Repair the Breach broadcast. The Repair of the Breach, Zechariah Daniel. Two scriptures, 1 Timothy 3.16, 1 John or Yachkanen 3.16, not John 3.16, but 1 John 3.16, says, hereby perceive we the love of Yahweh. I will repair the breach. God, Lord Jesus, Jehovah was not there originally. It was the name of Yahweh. It says, hereby perceive we the love of Yahweh, because he, who, the Almighty, Yahweh, the Father, manifest in the flesh as his Son. Hereby perceive we the love of Yahweh, because he laid down his life for us. And King James will say G-O-D, so... and 1 Timothy 3.16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of the Almighty. He was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on the world. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up, except you believe that I am he, shall die in your sin. So, now we are three. What kind of flesh do we have to confess he came in? He said, except you believe, confess that Yahweh, the Almighty Messiah, came in the flesh. That spirit is anti-Messiah. So anti means substituting him for something he's not, making him subordinate to something he never was. To say that he was something he was not is anti, or that which is the opposite of his origin. He said, I'm from above, you're from beneath, in John 8:23-24. We either believe he is the almighty man, like he said, or we believe he's a human being that arose and became a deity. And that cannot be, because that is a demagogue theory or progression or evolution, which is, again, idolatry and a false doctrine. But with that, we'd like to bring on, we got about maybe 2 minutes or so, we're glad for the call in Indiana. Kevin is calling Indiana. Welcome, Kevin, to the Repair the Breach broadcast. What can we do for you today?
Well, I appreciate your efforts, and your insight has opened up some things for me and has answered some questions, because I'm of the background of a Missouri Synod Lutheran, and I guess they're kind of, apparently they're kind of like an offshoot of the Catholics in a way, if you want to look at it, but I was always under the opinion that it was a 50-50 swap in the womb of Mary, but you have enlightened me to the point where that could not have taken place. And that's probably why God, is when he was born of through Mary, is called the second Adam, because as Adam was perfect, I'm sure Jesus, the flesh that Jesus was bearing was, God was bearing through Mary. I don't know what to call him now. See, I'm
call him Yahweh, like hallelujah.
Yeah, just call him Yahweh. There you go.
Yeah,
So the flesh that Yahweh was wearing was not half Mary. And you know, I can see now.
And neither was he fully Mary either, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty obvious.
Right. And so I can see now how Satan is using that doctrine in the last days, because the Catholic Church says that Mary is the mother of God.
Which is an impossibility and oxymoron.
Right, and they want you to pray to Mary, the Mother of God. And there are all these apparitions of Mary, the Mother of God. And
right.
So you've just you have affirmed something. And by the way, I'm a micro rebroadcaster here in Northwest Indiana, and I play Maranatha Strains music on Sundays that says Jesus in it a lot. Now I'm gonna have to redo things.
Well, leave contact information with my producer, Kelly, if you don't mind. I'd like to get in touch with you, if you don't mind. And you can reach me at breachmender@yahoo.com. Hey, Kevin, I appreciate your thoughts, your kind remarks. And, hey, we're all seeking together. None of us have the corner on the market, but we just got to keep on being open. And I appreciate the Spirit of Yahweh enlightening you and giving you understanding and revelation, because it can't come from man. It only comes from the Almighty. Thanks again, Kevin. Call again, please. And leave your message, your contact information with Kelly, my producer. Folks, hey, it's been a great broadcast today. We appreciate all the calls today, all the callers. May Yahweh bless you till next week. Shalom. The Sabbath is from Monday evening to Tuesday evening for the next 2 weeks, by the way. For those that want to observe the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, from Monday evening to Tuesday evening. Shalom.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.